The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your Highlander, as always, Tony. Joining with me today is...
Wish I was not the only one here. Oh, wait. Fuck this movie. Brian.
Lambert.
What the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, as if it's not already obvious, it's time for a new kind of magic.
Disappointment.
Highlander yeah. 2, the new batch.
Yeah, there can be only one, but unfortunately they made two. It's Highlander 2, The Quickening from 1991.
I'm going to rename it Highlander 2, What the Fuck Did I Just Watch?
Sure. Directed by Russell McKay, who we know also directed the first Highlander movie.
Really? This is the same guy?
This is the same guy, believe it or not. He also directed The Shadow, which is why you saw a lot of that in there.
Okay.
And
the same sets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Titanic cosplay that was this movie.
Mm. So, what is your personal history with this movie, Brian?
I remember seeing this movie when it came on USA, because when I was a kid, when I was, 11, 12, whatever, everything came on USA, and I watched everything that came on USA. And I remember enjoying two scenes in the movie, and I saw those scenes today, and I'll get to that point later on in the episode.
Okay. Rob?
I'm sure I've seen nibbles of this movie on USA and stuff like that. I've never actually seen it, mostly because I could not care less about the Highlander franchise in general.
Okay. Joe?
In the summer of 1999, I met a man called John. Well, I had known him beforehand.
Just to be clear, was this before the shield or after the shield?
This was in Lake Wobegon.
Before the shield. Which shield?
The shield.
Exactly.
The one that prevents the UV rays from destroying us all.
Oh, yeah. No, before that nonsense. Okay. Yeah. So I met this man, John. We had a budding friendship. Maybe second or third time we hung out.
Yeah. Quickly ruined when he showed me this movie.
Well, no.
Well, he had killed a man, so he made passionate love in an alleyway.
And all the windows exploded. No, so...
And he was done in 15 seconds.
One of the first things I think John told me when I became his friend was, never watch this movie. And, like, I gotta give John props, because he was looking out for me.
Hi, I'm John. Yeah. Here's a Bud K catalog. Don't watch Highlander 2.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure
he has to go around the neighborhood telling everybody.
Well, he had to make sure I watched Highlander 1, and then immediately afterwards is like, yeah, don't watch Highlander 2.
Which, for the folks at home... There's been so many episodes we've done so far with terrible movies John has made us watch. So this is the one that John said no to. Gives you an idea of where we're starting at.
Oh, no, he still watched it. He just realized it was a bad
idea. Yes. Oh. I'm just...
You're like my little angel of bad ideas.
So, yeah. So needless to say, I never watched it until I unfortunately rolled it last week. Sorry, everyone.
All right, yeah, I'd seen this before. I'm sure I watched it at one point during my video store days. I could have sworn I might have seen it with John, but maybe not from the sounds of that story. Maybe it was just on USA or some nonsense
like
that.
Well, you knew John before I did, so you might have actually been there when...
That's possible.
Yeah.
Did you know Joe before?
What?
Before Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, because you four, like, you two, John and Matt, we're hanging out together because I'd seen you guys together as a group.
Yeah, because Matt was in Tony's class in high school and John was in my class in high school.
And I didn't meet John till the end of my freshman year of college.
Dragons, check. Wolves, check. Here's your Bud K catalog. Don't watch Islander 2. John, out.
I should also point out we met over a game of Vampire.
Mm.
So it's Vampires check, Dragons check, Wolf check. Here's your Bud K catalog. Don't watch Highlander 2.
Okay, so.
Oh, Swords definitely Swords.
Mention my name for a discount, or you could just have three of my swords. Okay. I was going to apologize to John, but he doesn't listen. So, what? Apologize about what? Well, let's get into a brief history of this movie.
The man likes
it. It sucks
sword.
The end.
Yeah. Well, let's find out why it sucks, Brian. While filming in Argentina, they had a multitude of problems.
I'm sorry.
That's why I'm glad you said it, because I was about to.
The sad thing is I thought about that, and I was like, don't say it. There was a multitude of problems, and there was some kind of political strife, which caused issues to fluctuate with how much things cost. So this movie ended up going over budget very quickly.
What year was this movie made?
Was filmed in 1990, I would believe. It was released in 91. I'm not sure exactly when.
I was going to say, did they make it during the Falklands War?
Maybe. From the looks of it, it's possible. It caused a lot of problems, and it included the government stepping in and suggesting rewrites, which...
I can't say I've ever heard of that happening before.
No, that's a new one. There are multiple different cuts of this movie. There's the theatrical cut, which apparently was so bad that the director walked out of the premiere 15 minutes in. There's the Renegade cut, which we watched, which is cuts out a lot of the alien talk, which is why it's a mystery whether or not they're on our planet or not, in a galaxy far, far away, whatever nonsense. But there's also the European cut, which had the fairy tale ending, which is similar to the ending we saw, except when Connor embraces girl, I can't remember her name.
Louise.
They turn into a bright shining light and fly off into space.
Are you fucking serious?
For those of you at home that are listening and can't see, my ears just perked up like barf in space balls.
But honestly, though, from what you just saw, why wouldn't you be like? Why would you be surprised that happened?
That's true.
Of course, that happened.
Did it turn into a butterfly looking?
The thing is, I really wish that was the ending we got, because that would make, you know, the added bit of beauty when you chimed in with your Dragonheart reference at the end. So Clancy Brown was asked to reprise his role as the Kurgan, but he refused. He sure did.
Well played, Clancy Brown.
Better to burn out than fade away.
So Michael Ironside has since gone on to say that him, Lambert, and Connery all hated this movie and simply did it for the paycheck. And Lambert
They were on budget, so they probably paid them too much too.
Yeah. Lambert almost walked out of this movie at one point, but because of contractual obligations, he did not.
Yeah, like Lambert Productions. You put your name / two favorite stuffed animals on the title of the film.
Well, Lambert also was a cause of much problems on the set.
I can't imagine.
Because that scene in the alley was not scripted.
I'm so hard right now. We're doing this.
Not so much that, but he did insist on doing a lot of his own stunts and using real swords. Mm-hmm. Since he also is very poor eyesight and could not wear his glasses during the filming, there were a lot of injuries on set, including almost cutting off, Ironside almost cut off one of his thumbs, and he at one point chipped Ironside's tooth and dislocated his jaw.
Oh, man.
Just for the fun.
Well, not just cackling. I mean, I'm just picturing him flying around the set on those stupid shoes, cackling like an idiot and just whacking like grips and stuff with that sword.
And Sean Connery probably just literally killed two people for the hell of it.
Sean C. McGinley said that he intentionally did his voice deeper to have a Orson Welles feel to it, which he later admitted was a bad idea.
What? Orson Welles? Come on.
I just...
Orville Redenbacher, telling you the news. Maybe.
Unicron, he is not.
All right. And after the failure of this movie, the director could not find work directing anything but low-budget movies until he was saved by doing Resident Evil Extinction in 2007.
Saved?
I don't know if that's the right word. Resident Evil Extinction. Is that the CG one?
That's that movie with... Never mind.
Okay.
With
One of the Culkins. Was that Macaulay Culkin? No, that was his brother, right?
Yeah, never mind.
And Jenna. All right. So, yeah, that's a brief history on this movie. Oh, anybody want to guess when they what their budget was to make this?
1990, Argentina. I'm going to say, $27 million.
I'm feeling 50.
300 million pesos.
Can you do the conversion?
I'll say $30 million.
It was $30 million. Wow. He snagged it right from Brian's grasp. I would want to guess how much money this movie made.
Is negative an option?
Like, it's always an option.
Like 300 pesos.
I'm going to go with $12 million, a sad handy, and a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Say $15 million in a jar of tears.
I'm going to say a copy of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey soundtrack.
Not even a movie, soundtrack. All
right, I'm going to have to split the difference between Joe and Brian, as it was $15 million and two sexual harassment.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, man.
Were they against Connery?
Yep.
Of course they were.
Oh, man.
Was it Lambert?
I don't think so. I'm guessing that woman on the plane he was whispering to was not scripted.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Holy shit.
The sexual harassment lawsuit part is real. That part is unconfirmed.
I think and the naked lady the guy was shaking in the alleyway.
Holy shit.
Could be.
Holy shit. I'm going to say something outrageous as shit. This is outrageous. It fucking happened.
Yeah, I had to stifle laughing out loud when he said that. But what did that money go towards?
Oh, God.
Joe.
All right.
Lawyers, I guess.
So, last time in Dragonheart, I gave him a pass. But I think this time Sean Connery's going to have to sit with the rest of the class for this discipline session. But we got him, Christopher Lambert, as Connor McLeod. You got Virginia Madsen as Louise Marcus. Michael Ironside as General Katana, which might be the stupidest name I've ever heard.
General Katana?
Yeah. Alan Reich as Dr. Alan Wayman, and John C. McGinley as David Blake. They had good actors to work with, except for Lambert.
And a lot of returning talent to this program.
So,
okay. This is a lot. This whole movie.
A lot of sentences in the podcast are just going to be like,
I'm just trying to piece together how this
went so south.
Five head having mofo can't speak English and he's blind. How is he an action star? Riddle me this.
Let's not forget to throw in the fact that he's clearly European of some kind, playing a Scottish man, alien. So
I can't even.
All right, so let's try and get into this.
From the year a long time ago.
A very long time ago.
Very long time ago. Sorry.
Because a long, long time ago was taken.
Well, I believe we actually start out with some text on screen, which is always a sign of a good movie. Discussing how in 1999 our ozone layer was destroyed and they shot a giant shield into space or something, whatever.
Yeah, like how...
This is what Prince was singing about.
if the ozone layer was that bad, it's more feasible to do what we did and do regulations to help limit the amount of stuff we put in the air to mess with the ozone than it is to get every country in the world to let one country build a fucking space laser satellite to cover the whole planet in a shield. That shit would not happen.
And in fact, one satellite cover the whole
planet. I don't even know!
It's like the worst DLC that ever came out for Halo. It's just...
I think it's supposed to be more than one satellite, but it's not super clear.
They only blew up one satellite.
They only show one throughout the entire film. Okay.
You could jump ahead a lot bit here, but
please do.
Later on in the movie, they climb up a mountain and they're over the shield.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's being generated by a satellite in fucking space.
Mm-hmm. A cold, freezing mountain, mind you, somewhere in Nevada.
Well,
it's like Lake Tahoe, California.
there's mountains in Nevada. Like that, I'm giving them that. But like, they're not higher than satellites.
No, that's what I'm getting at.
And then there's a plane ride where they're in the shield, and the plane ride, the shield above them, whatever.
Yep.
But planes fly over mountains. So yep. I don't.
Well, maybe because of the shield, they do have to fly low altitude. And it is like a old-timey prop plane, so...
For some reason! Yeah. Prop not as in propeller, as in it's made of cardboard and held together with duct tape.
Clearly a model. All right.
It's like from Plan 9, you just see the clipboard hanging in the back. Like, that makes it a plane!
We find out this is Lambert Entertainment providing this to us. And
let's specify, not Lambert like Christopher Lambert, like a lamb and a bear got together and made a movie.
Bear.
Wolfram and Hart?
And there's shitty opera going on.
Yeah.
Everything's wrapped in plastic, and it wasn't immediately clear that it was leaking in the building, so I thought, is this like a Gallagher kind of opera?
It's the same thing.
Yeah. It's the exact same thing. And it might have been. I was like, as we close in on Christopher Lambert, not only is he asleep at this opera, he is facing the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. And super old.
That's super old.
And by himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, no one made him go to that shit.
No. Well, I think maybe this was some kind of work function something.
He's just like ready to die.
Yeah.
He's ready to go.
What work? He doesn't work for anybody.
Well, because there was something about the president of satellites or whatever the buddy there. Whatever that was. That guy was there. And I think maybe John C. McGinley, but I wasn't sure.
Like, all right. This movie pretty much is someone told a kid about the first movie and was like, so how do you think all that started? The kid was like, well, like aliens. And, like, time travel, and, like, yeah, and, like, hoverboards that fly, and, like, wingling things.
But midway through that, a different kid shoved him out of the way and tried to put his own theory in there.
When they were done, they ran it through Google Translate, like, twice.
Except it was 1991.
So yes.
The equivalent of Google Translate back then.
Just some deaf Albanian guy.
Yeah. What a loose grasp
of Argentinians.
Oh, God.
Argentinians.
Yeah. Well, Lambert's having a little nap at this opera. He starts finally getting some flashbacks to where he came from, which is apparently Jakku.
Jakku. I want to go with Jakku.
Or somewhere on Dune, I'm not sure, but...
Do they ever say the name of the planet?
No, they never even...
Well...
They don't even use the word alien, they don't...
No, well, that's because we got the Renegade cut.
Oh.
In the theatrical cut, they say the name of this planet and start calling them all kinds of alien names.
Oh.
The theatrical cut, they try and cut out all that garbage as much as possible, believe it or not. It's just a long time ago in a...
Just as long time ago?
Undetermined
a very long
place.
Time ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forget. Are they calling him Ramirez at this point?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
And McCloud.
Yep, of course.
Yep.
Because, you know, the Scottish alien guy is going to be named Ramirez.
Yep.
I'm Connor McCloud from the Hive McCloud.
So he's like you pointing to Connor, and he's like, I'm going to touch you with this glowy water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like no explanation.
You, you and I are going to have a quick fondue pot, and that'll bond us as brothers.
Then we're going to flash back to the opera. Then we're going to flash back to Michael Ironsides storming around with his army.
And kicking our ass.
Fucking General Katana.
Also known as Kurgan.
Yeah.
Kurgan 2.0.
What weapon does General Katana use?
Kurgan's weapon.
Yeah, an expanding two-handed sword.
Swiss Army sword.
Yeah. Why you would ever not want it expanded, I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to
maybe
stop.
Like close quarters? I don't know.
I guess.
Got to stop Katana.
Yeah.
It's the Nerf Longtooth.
So basically, him and his goons show up and just kick their ass and capture them. And then he, like, talks to Connor in his cell and kills an eel in front of him.
Yeah, what? And I don't know.
There's no point to anything in this movie.
Not a
thing. I'm going to say that now.
Yeah.
Anything in this movie, nothing has a point to it.
Nope.
At all. The only reason why this movie was made was so that we got this podcast today.
It was destiny.
That's it.
For bad movie podcasts everywhere.
Well,
we were brought Highlander 2.
And so John could not like a movie legitimately.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And not for just some small minor reason. So my only notes, really, as many as I've taken, are who and why again.
And then they're never answered.
No, none of those are answered. None of those questions.
I made a rule around this point that I'm not going to write words that start with W in my notes.
Yeah, Nickelodeon W5 plus H would not go anywhere near this movie.
So, all right, I'm going to try to guess at what happens here. So he gets taken before a tribunal of priests of some sort.
I guess.
Where they're going to be punished. And, like, General Katana's like, hey, I could just kill him right here. They're guilty because I say so.
Guilty of what? I forget.
Rebellion.
Treason.
Rebellion. Yeah. Yes. So the three priests are speaking from somewhere, somehow.
Telepathy, maybe?
They're like, no, we're not going to kill you. We're going to send you to the future, and you're all going to fight each other. And
we
then the winner.
I think you're good enough yet, Hal Jordan.
And then the winner can come back here with his faith and freedom restored.
All right. So here's the bullshit. They go, all right, so we're gonna banish you from this shitty place that we live in now where you want to rebel against us. We're gonna send you to the future where you have to be immortal and live your lives as long as you want, but eventually you're gonna fight each other, and the last one of you's left gets to come back here with all charges dropped.
Or choose to grow old.
And die. Or you can just die there.
But it seems like they're gonna live forever on this shitty planet too.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about all this shit to explain that they're like these aliens, for lack of a better word, because we don't know what the fuck this means. But and they still have no explanation why a few among them are immortal. That like they specify, like, you guys,
like,
are
as
immortal.
It is your way.
Yeah. And so this is it. What you do. Like we send immortals away to this thing so you can kill each other
because of the glow water.
And I guess.
So that,
obviously,
this is when Ironsides tries to point out the obvious. He's like, this is bullshit. And this, like, badass tribunal that's somehow talking with their minds. One guy's just like, silence, General Katana.
Yeah. I think they calmly and collectively work together to speak telepathically, but that one just lost him, was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sorry. Enough.
I'll kill your mother. It's, So, if you're listening at home and you're not following this at all,
you're
not alone.
Yeah.
So, apparently, as I'm to understand it, at this point, then, they wipe their minds, and then they fire them through space and time as if they were Optimus Prime in his proto-form, and just, like, he crash-lands somewhere on Earth.
They send them to the future.
The future.
That's, yes.
And then this is what I don't
different
get.
Points in the future.
Also Earth.
This is more shit I don't get. Like, them motherfuckers were born on the planet, on Earth.
We
like,
thought so.
Because kind of grew old. He was a kid with the Highland people. He grew old. He grew up to be a man. And then, like, his first time dying. But, like, so they fucking grew up. Like, they were born there and shit. So.
Yep. And he was just as shocked and appalled that he was alive as anybody else.
Just,
Yep.
Because he forgot that he was a spaceman from the past.
Who wouldn't?
So now old man McLeod's driving around in his car.
Yeah.
Some guys were going to rob him, and then they see that it's him, and they're like, oh, shit, that's McLeod.
So it's Christopher Lambert doing an impression of Viggo the Carpathian doing an impression of Mr. Burns.
While someone's stepping on his trachea.
That's pretty accurate.
It's a real old man now.
Yeah, so, all right. So, you know the first Dumbledore actor, the one that died?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine him.
Oh, no.
After he's just run a triathlon. That's pretty much what you're getting here.
So a corpse.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Better than I thought, still terrible. All right, but yeah, he's doing like the worst, like old man in bridge, and the makeup's not helping anything. But anyway, he goes to a bar to kind of relax.
Oh. You know, spend his last few minutes on Earth, I guess.
Before that happens, though, we cut to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation pyramid thing.
Oh, right.
That's just shooting a beam into the air to the satellite.
Because they thought they saw a fish.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you get an assault by some scuba zipline ninjas.
Yeah, what? What?
They're eco-terrorists.
Well, that's what they're called. They're more like aggressive scientists, I guess.
Ant-Man cosplayers.
Yeah. Like, it's unnecessary.
So, yeah, they go in there, right? They hack the computer. This chick, like, takes a reading, and she's like, this isn't normal. And you look at the screen, and there's no data you can interpret on the screen. So you're like, why is it not normal?
Yeah. Well, I mean, usually there's words on here.
Yeah.
usually it shows me a picture of a monkey where I just press, and the monkey throws bananas.
Yes.
But now it's all these numbers and stuff.
So,
where's my memory game?
Yeah, she breaks into the core of this thing somehow.
Let's not talk about the core.
Pulls out the hard drive, and she's like, hey, give me a second. I got to run some tests on this or whatever. And it's like, yeah, everything's normal. You don't need me.
Yeah, so, yeah, the reading's not normal, but we don't know why that's, you know, important or not important. But before we could even process that, now we're back in the future. I'm back in the past, I'm sorry. And the priests are talking about how McCloud has not made his choice yet of rather to grow old and die or come back to the past. And it's like, I'm pretty sure he did make his choice.
Yeah, he's growing old and he's dying. I guess it is like a get out of jail free card, because he could just on his last, you know, on his dying bed, his last breaths could be like, I want to go back, and just boom, he's back and all good.
But why?
Yeah.
Like when they show you the past, nothing back there is good.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't remember that he came from there anyway, so why? He certainly would not do that.
Also, his faith in freedom would be restored, but it says nothing about his physical form.
Hmm. And it is Jakku. They're even in the middle of that stupid Star Destroyer. It's terrible.
Yeah. But Ironside's not having it, so he's like, I'm going to send some people back there to take care of him.
And one of them says, he's like old as fuck. Listen, he's like going to die in like 2 weeks. Let him die.
Shut up. Like, he just slaps the dude.
But then we wouldn't have a movie, asshole.
Yeah. We'd all be better off for it.
Literally, sir, he just hooked a car battery up to his heart.
Yeah. Also, let's not just skip over the fact that the two people that he hires to do this assassination are Sonic and Knuckles, basically.
And one has that crazy laugh.
I would say they're Knuckles and more different Knuckles.
Sure. They got goggles on and little, like, nose pouches, I guess. I don't know what that's about.
I think they're supposed to have feathers, but it looks like porcupine quills.
Either there's
they're just awful, is what they are. They're dumb, they're awful, terrible, alien, fake dumb.
All right.
And I hate it.
All right. If your technology is so advanced, you can look into the future, send people into the future, and like monitor a daily basis of them in the future, why can't you look ahead a little bit further to see what the fuck they did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, just be like, I'm gonna fast forward to a few weeks from now. Yep, he does die. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Done.
Or like, be like, hey, if I send these people now, what'll happen? Oh, I fucked up.
Or how about, I'm going to send these people now. Hey, watch this. Don't do any of that, because it didn't work.
It's a different time period. He's on a different planet. Why do you care? He's gone. Why do you care? Go strangle your eels or whatever dumb nonsense you do.
For some reason, he thinks he might come back and cause problems.
How would he come back?
Because if he says, I want to go back anytime before he dies, he just can, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
That's also how that works.
That machine you have, you could just turn it off.
That too.
Just be like, we'll check up on him every once in a while and then just keep it off.
Also, as far as I can tell, these just taste like regular Doritos.
Fat.
Not Supreme Cheddar.
No, it just tastes like nacho cheese.
This episode of Fat Chat brought to you by Supreme Cheddar Doritos.
And Cadbury caramel eggs.
Yeah, we have a whole smorgasbord of
Reese's peanut butter cream eggs and zebra dicks and fudge covered peanut butter cookies.
Thin mints.
And an Oreo Big Crunch bar, which I want to see how that is.
It's good.
You've had it?
Yes.
Joe had it? You've been cheating on us.
What person at my store gave it?
God damn it, Joe.
All right, guys. So you're gonna have to hold on for a minute at home while we find another fourth member
as Joe's been booted off the podcast. You still have to watch the movies.
Yeah. It won't wash away this film.
You just don't get to talk about them anymore.
Joe's only on fail list movies. This is punishment.
God damn.
That's not much different.
It's really not.
I was going to say, so far, it means he's just on the list. Anyway, where were we? What's happening? All right, more porcupines.
Bullshit. Yeah.
So these, also, we're not going to get any explanation why these weird mutants exist.
Nope.
What that's about.
Nope.
Whatever.
But Connor knows something's up because he hurts himself. Was he in a car accident or something like that?
No, he's in a 50s diner for some reason, and a woman smashed a bottle on his head.
He got hit in the head with a bottle because some lady...
Connor, you suck.
Some lady was like, you're the guy who made the shield. Fuck you. And she hit him with a bottle, and he cuts himself.
I don't get what... Apparently the shield's doing bad things other than making the sky red, but it's like...
I don't know what it's doing.
If I recall, in a future scene, we see that the sun was just burning people to death.
Right.
So it's better with the shield.
Well, I mean, like many Highlander fanboys will understand, the sun is deadly poison.
Yes.
I think what's happening is that the company who made the shield were doing shitty things with the power they had from having shoulder shield. That's what it was.
I also got the impression that most of the money went to keeping this shield, and there's a lot of poverty going around and things like it's some kind of weird dystopian future.
Tony, there's not enough energy in the planet to turn that shield on. Apparently it's on forever.
Oh, God, I wish that wasn't a line from this movie.
Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, so like he gets cut in his bar, and all of a sudden his cut like heals in front of him. He's like, fuck.
Yeah.
So he knows something's up.
Not just heals.
Not these again.
His blood sucks back into the cut. It folds over on his hand, and then it goes off into a book somewhere to hang out with Pokey and the rest.
So Louise, who has now changed from her ninja suit to her 80s suit.
April O'Neil
costume.
Runs into McCloud.
I liked her better than ninja suit.
I also like to point out, her face is on the news here for the break-in she did.
Yeah. And her name. Is it her name?
And her name, yes. Mm-hmm. Just note that for later. Yep. But she runs into McCloud and she's like, hey, I used to read about you. I used to look up to you for some reason.
I'm the lady who they just said their name a minute ago as a terrorist.
Yeah.
Well, he does say, like, you know, I know who you are, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't seem to be too concerned about it. But anyway.
Kent Mansley, work for the government.
But she's like, I got some questions for you. What's going on? I need your help or some nonsense. I'm just going to get in your car. And she does.
Yeah, well.
I am too old to stop you.
But he's like, you know, listen, lady, shit's about to go down. I really don't think you should be here. I'm sorry. Listen, lady, some shit going on.
It's like, seriously, my heart stopped 4 times during our conversation.
Yeah.
It's only my Highlander abilities that are keeping me from dying.
I'm literally just trying to die.
My body is desperately trying to kill itself.
Also, we find out at this point that Dr. Cox from Scrubs is running the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation for reasons.
Yeah.
Which I do want to point out one thing that's a little bit. So it's only 25 years in the future from when the last movie was.
Yeah.
Right. He was only in his 30s.
Yep.
In the last movie.
Now he's 160. It's that hard living, man.
He's only in his 30s and in peak specimen health for a human being.
But Brian, he was in his 30s in like immortal years.
I don't know
now
about.
Now that he's mortal, it's all catching up to him.
I don't know about peak specimen.
If they said that? And that was like, you know, 90 days. That's one thing.
I know, but they don't have that decency.
Brian, that's time that we would be wasting that we could instead be spending on hover feet.
Oh, is it?
And
is
laughing
that?
Like.
So I was right. So he is like Bilbo Baggins once he gives up the ring that was giving him his youth.
Yep.
He starts his age.
Except he doesn't have the option of giving up the ring. It's whenever the ring decides to show back up, apparently.
It's his 11th birthday.
Yeah. I mean, since there are no facts, it's
America
what you want it to be.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I can't talk right now. It's time for second breakfast.
Alternate facts, yeah. That's what you have to deal with in this movie.
Yeah.
You
anyway.
Have to make alternate facts.
I saw a lot of fake news going around.
Enter Banjo-Kazooie and the Flyboys.
Yeah, these two show up. One of them has a winged jetpack. The other one has a hoverboard.
Holy crap. I mean, General Katana looks kind of like Steve Bannon.
Steve Bannon?
He does. Sorry.
Brian's getting political on the podcast. It's not. I mean,
I'm leaving that alone. So
Nacho realizes it too. He's like, fuck. Anyway. Back to this movie, unfortunately.
I'm going to leave that alone. All right, the two Hammer brothers show up, and they're trying to take down...
Their names?
McCloud.
No.
Dumb and Dumber. Sorry, my fault. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm sure the credits the they do, but they never say it.
Cheech and Chong, Sonic and Knuckles. No,
I think one of them was Iggy, and the other one was...
Squiggy. I wish it was Cheech and Chong. That'd be funny as fuck.
Trying to fly around, and they're all like lighting up reefers. And
stuff. Lighting hold up on, reefers. Wait, Joe just said lighting up reefers.
I'm hip. I know the lingo.
Joe's an old ass man. You're not that Joe. Old ass man.
God. Pass the doobie.
Yeah. Once they get those jazz cigarettes, they're going to start to fly.
So.
Oh boy! Yeah. So these things show up and they're like, hey, "We're gonna kill you!" And they start a big fight.
Like they dug these costumes out of the trash of the original Star Trek series.
They made them from trash.
We're filled. One man's we're trash. Filled. No, never mind.
We came from filled. <one. laughs>
Yeah. Damn it! Me into it.
So it's just the this scene like ended the movie for me.
Oh, this is no, where it no, all that, started it had for the me.
Opposite effect for me. Yes, I was ready to be like, "Fuck it, I'm done."
I had kind of like it was like a wombo combo situation here. All right, because this scene made me say out loud, "Can we please turn this off and watch a Godzilla movie?" And then later we get to see a guy watching a Godzilla movie, and I'm like, "That's adding insult to injury." Yeah, that's what like I need to shut this off now.
No, it's the part when after he fights the first guy and they get up on a train. Well, they get up on a scaffold, then they get up on a train.
The slowest moving train I've ever seen.
And the guy totally has Connor like dead to rights, and he knocks him off the train, well, onto like the coupling. And Connor just grabs him by the ankle and somehow pulls him off the train, throws him under the tracks, and he gets decapitated by a train.
This train, by the way, is like just going down the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Like between all these nightclubs
the
and
future.
Stuff.
They don't gotta believe your zoning laws.
I also, guess not. What a hell of a shot to grab someone by the ankle, swing them off of the train, and throw them in such a way that their head perfectly goes onto the rails.
Right. There's also no track.
There is a track.
Well, it was more like a streetcar track. It was not a train track.
So anyway, like he gets the quickening now.
Yeah.
And they dial this to 11. Like,
oh yeah.
Holy crap. Everything explodes.
This is at least the equivalent of the quickening he got at the end of the first movie. Mm-hmm. Possibly more so.
It's a graphic depiction of a man his age taking a little blue pill and reaching climax.
This should be in some commercial.
And then to make sure you get that point. He reached climax a little later.
Well, we're not there yet.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. First of all, I want to mention
very little later.
The
about
quickening
15 seconds later.
The quickening. I'm using air quotes here. Comes out as a little spark gremlin and starts dancing around the street till it gets to him. Then he has an orgasm, and then everything explodes.
Like buildings everything explodes.
Everything. Like everything in a 30-mile radius just explodes
this
out
guy's
of nowhere.
Like driving a fuel truck, and like everything inside the truck starts exploding.
Yeah. The director of the movie is just standing behind the camera like, he may be a blind asshole, but look at that man's O-face.
Yeah. And then, like, the trailer just comes off and crashes into Connor. That explodes.
Yep.
And
he's engulfed in flames, but he steps out of it. He's just fine.
From the flames?
He's younger. Yep. He's 25 years younger.
Fully restored Connor McCloud.
And
it's at this point where I realized I'm like, this Luis is one of the worst movies I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
but I cannot wait to see what happens next.
Yep. Like, I could totally see the main character being played by Tommy Wiseau.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It wouldn't change anything.
But you already get a good indicator of what's coming, because when Louise sees him come out of the flames, the younger man, she just goes sploosh.
Yep.
But he has to fight the other guy now.
It's like, hold on, I gotta get these stupid boots on.
Yep.
It's so stupid looking.
Oh my god.
You can't describe
how
stupid this looks.
I think, honestly, like, these the pieces of equipment they use to fly around are two pieces of the same thing that they hook together to make that used to be part of a glider that they used for Green Goblin in the old Spider-Man live action show.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's, wow. I don't know.
Well, I thought you were going to say, like, the two of them were attached on, like, some stupid mobile.
That too. Which, you know, speaking of a mobile, we get a chase in the air as Connor is whipping around on these hoverboard things, mm-hmm. hover boots, whatever you want to call them.
Hover around.
Yes, they are hover-rounds. And the spiky quill man, bird, quilled, quird. I'll call him a quird.
Yes. Over the quirk.
Yeah, he's flying around, as you pointed out, basically just being Firefly from Batman. And, like, I just love, they're just seemingly just spinning around in a circle, and it's all sped up. Like, if you look in the background, you can actually see the flames, like, freaking out and shit.
And I guess just Connor just crashes his feet into a taxi.
Yeah, a taxi pulls in. Just that loses takes
the hoverboard and he, you know, and drives away with it.
Yep.
But using his amazing Highlander alien ingenuity, he wraps an electric cable around his sword and holds it aloft to channel nothing, but this idiot flies right into the cable.
Yep.
Decapitates himself.
Well, in fairness, he's probably like, there's no way that could decapitate me.
That's true. He's like, I'm just gonna run right through
this. Isn't gonna work.
And then his head falls to the ground as his body gently glides onward into an electric panel.
Totally vertical.
From the get-go, he is horizontal, but once he gets his wire, he's vertical for some reason. Cuts his head off, and then he just slides forward and jacks into, like, this electrical socket on the wall whatever.
And does that explode? You bet it.
Of course.
I'm gonna go for a deep cut here. I'm talking all all you fans of the Rob Portion quarter of this podcast. If you've ever watched, not even me.
I was gonna say, not even me.
Well, I mean, it was coming for me too.
Definitely not my wife.
Just got out the gate fast enough.
We all gave it a good second.
If you've ever seen a classic Godzilla movie, like when it got real bad, like in the 70s, 60s, 70s, like, okay, Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, when he uses his atomic breath to propel himself through the air, that's what we're talking about here. Like that level.
I could always go for Godzilla versus Megalon, the tail slide.
But,
smashing Megalon with his ass.
That, yes, yes. But until you see the flame breath propellant, it's like, that's a whole other level.
By the way, fingers crossed for the next movie. Let's see this happen.
Why?
Because that would be amazing.
Would it?
Yes.
Would it? It would be just another CGI monster blowing itself through the air.
All right, gentlemen, we have important things to talk about.
Do we, though?
Like,
no, we don't.
Like yelling the name Ramirez, which bounces off the space shield and lands in Scotland.
That's right. I mean, talk about shouting out the wrong lady's name.
Well, he'll get her name right on the second come. The first come is for Ramirez.
Yeah. So, Ramirez did tell him, just call my name and I'll be there. Not even death can keep us apart.
Yeah.
We're linked by the special water.
When you call my name.
Even though he super died in the first movie.
Very much so. And his essence was absorbed by someone else.
Correct.
And then absorbed by Connor.
Correct.
So, I guess, actually, it was, since if it was in Connor and he yelled it out, and it bounced off the space shield and landed in Scotland.
It could manifest physically in Sean Connery's old body.
I don't know. We can make up rules. Was that spirit
spooge that he shot out and bounced off the satellite?
I'm not going to speculate as to what body part that came from.
Anyway, Sean Connery just manifests in the middle of a Hamlet play.
And I gotta say, everyone, this is the start of many times. Actually, technically Luis is, but of everyone handling crazy ass shit like a champ. Because he just appears on stage and the actor's just like, I'm just gonna pretend like that didn't happen. Gabe, let's just keep doing this.
I would have yelled at least one F word if a lightning bolt struck Sean Connery into existence in front of me.
Oh, God, yeah. If a lightning bolt hit that close to the stage, I would have said, what the fuck?
Fellas, this shit don't matter. Fellas, we can't skip the alleyway sex scene.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
this is great.
She's still in the dumpster right now.
Okay. Well, depending on who you ask.
Dumpster's about to be in her in a moment. Anyway.
Wow.
That's 21.
Wow.
Macaroni, Tony.
Tony.
But, yeah, so we get to see Sean Connery call someone a shithead, possibly make a homophobic joke. I am not sure on that one.
It's so weird. Like, some of the language in this movie is, like, rated R language, but some of the way these people talk to each other, you're like, did Kirk Cameron do a pass on this script?
Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's so bizarre.
No, this was 1991.
How bizarre.
He was still hanging out with Boner in, what was it? Not Growing Pains.
Yeah, for Boner hang himself. So
did Boner hang himself?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Any hoots. I don't know where to go after
this. Yeah, we just kind of crashed into a corner.
Well, like, Sean Connery just walks off the stage eventually, and he's just like, oh, God, the magic worked.
Yeah.
Not explaining anything.
Cut back.
Also walks into a field, sees a truck for the first time ever, and just goes, so much for the horse and buggy. Like, what the hell kind of reaction is this?
The times, they are changing.
I'm here for paycheck.
Yep.
I'm here for paycheck.
So, yeah, cut back to wherever this is.
Manhattan-ish?
Sure.
Gotham? Whatever.
Random city in the USA.
San Francisco.
I believe they do call it New York at one point.
Sure.
Somewhere in New York.
So Connor McCloud just had his amazing time. And this girl is just, she's like, hey, I happen to be DTF now.
Yeah. Like, I just saw you transform into a younger version of you and kill two men.
And blow up everything.
That's hot.
Don't get me wrong. You're still disgusting looking.
Oh, yeah, well, take my tongue in your mouth. And she's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I believe she actually goes, like, who are you? And his response is,
well, I mean, I could justify his actions. I can't justify hers. I mean, if you were, like ancient and then, like, were suddenly half your age and all that libido came back.
I just got jazzed up twice and my dick is finally working for the first time in 30 years. This is happening.
Someone's getting it right now.
I could lick your forehead for an hour and not hit the same spot twice.
His forehead is massive.
It's ridiculous.
It's massive.
Sure is.
I believe I described him as a live action Woody from Toy Story.
You sure did.
But so they just start,
like, literally he just grabs her, starts kissing her, and she's like, okay, cool. She's like, all right, so now they're like, she's going back at him. He lifts her skirt up and just literally just puts it in.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, cause it shows both their faces as it happens. Yeah. And they're like, and like they fuck for like 3 seconds. And he's like, don't touch me.
Well, that shit's been charging for a while.
Listen.
But like, It just doesn't fit. I mean, anything that just happened.
Brian, he just came twice. He's
so
a little sensitive.
Out of place. It is so out of place.
He pumped her like a bunny rabbit.
It was like 30 second scene, which was 29 seconds too long. It was out of place.
Guys, remember, it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is permission.
Wow.
Send it to the court. All right.
All right.
two sexual assault lawsuits for this fucking movie.
Hold up.
Here's my bud cake.
I feel, once again, I need to defend her because she did stop in between the making out and sex to introduce each other.
Just say her name again. Oh, yeah, my name was this. Oh, yeah, okay, sure, cool.
I like that he was just like, yeah, I don't care.
Okay,
like,
sure, cool.
My name is What's-Her-Face. I have herpes. My name is Connor McLeod. I have space AIDS.
In the first movie, it took him a whole, like, partial getting stabbed by her before they had sex.
That's all it takes for me.
Just in a seedy-ass alley.
Partial dinner, partial stabbing.
I mean, he gave her a gift in the first one, right? He gave her something first, and they had dinner.
Oh, yeah. he gave her something first here, too.
And then he was like, stab me, and then they had sex.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Female viewers, or listeners.
There aren't any.
So, Jen, I guess.
If you're still Stacey. Listening at this
point. I'm sorry, Stacey.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
I don't know why
your name is Jen, Stacey. Anyway.
Stacey, I never forgot you, Stacey.
Where was I going with this?
Oh, you have no idea.
If a man stabs himself in front of you, is that a turn on? Does that move work?
Yeah, let me know. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
No shame.
All right. Aside from that, if any of you want to meet me in an alleyway, I'll kill a guy.
Yeah, if that works. I mean, to be fair, we're starting a trend here. Killing a bunch of sand people, apparently a turn on. Killing two dudes in an alley, apparently a turn on. There might be something to this.
I hate sand. It's coarse. It gets in my vagina.
Oh. Anyway.
So, Sean Connery buys a suit.
Please keep listening, Stacey.
I'm sorry, Stacey. We love you.
I mean, at this point, how can you not?
At this point, there's no way you're hearing this because you turned this off a long time.
At this point, you're an accomplice.
Wow.
Somehow it's her fault.
It's always her fault.
Wow.
I'm sorry I brought you up, Stacey.
I just meant women in general.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Oh, God.
The views expressed by Marguerite Robb are Marguerite Robb's alone and not the rest of the podcast.
Oh, so now that no one's listening, let's continue.
All right, Ramirez got to get a suit.
Yep. Let's go get a suit because it's time for that.
I look goofy. Make me look slightly less goofy.
It's the 90s.
Yep.
But we still need an 80s fashion montage.
Yep.
Still need one.
Yep. A la Clueless.
This is where we get it.
Like, hey, were you missing Mannequin on the Move?
Holy shit. That's on the list. No. The first one on the list.
Either way.
Yeah.
So all right.
He's like, here's an earring. Crank up the Beethoven. We're going to do this real fast.
Yeah. Here's an earring. Who knows what that's worth? Whatever.
Yeah. I'll give you a pearl earring because Connor's giving someone a pearl necklace right now.
Anyway, so... Again, he's getting a suit made. This one guy's trying to put a tartan on him, and we're listening to some bagpipes for some reason.
It's just the dumbest, weirdest. Are we also just nothing?
Along with this whole thing of being like, you know, they're space aliens and everything, are they finally just like, you know, fuck it, let's leave the Spanish thing behind? He's Scottish.
Came up on it
because he's not Scottish.
He's not. I mean, he is, but he's not.
Yeah.
He's an Egyptian Spaniard.
Yeah.
But it's okay. They would...
Alien.
Later on, they would use these important sound and visual cues to make an entire movie called The Boondock Saints.
Yep.
Cool.
So here we get our first image of, like, the weird satire in this movie in the form of Psychic Cook.
Yes.
And it's just this, like, weird non sequitur nothingness. It's like a commercial for a show where it's a psychic, but he has ghosts that cook with him.
And try and kill each other.
Right. And here's where you're like, I can see they're trying to do, like, you know, a RoboCop, Starship Troopers thing, but they don't have the wit for it.
No. I would not buy that for a dollar.
No, well, definitely not.
To be fair, I wish we had stayed on that and we could have watched Psychic Cook instead of the rest of the
movie. I would have rather watched Psychic Cook than this movie, yes, but it's still not good.
No.
Gentlemen. You realize what feats of cinema you're downplaying here. I mean, how could you pass up Sean Connery flying in a plane in a red sky sexually harassing the woman next to him?
I wonder what, like, what if it was during filming or if it was like backstage or like what.
I got a feeling he just never stopped and they just filmed bits of it and spliced that together.
I'm betting he just put his dick on the craft services table and claimed all the food for himself.
And Scotland.
I mean, like, Chappelle said he wants to be so famous he puts his dick on someone's shoulder and they're like, oh shit.
Sean Connery is that man.
I was going to say, I think he got it from Sean Connery. Yeah.
These Stallone cuts are mine.
He probably did it to some of the ladies on the set, too.
Flavors of tangy mayonnaise.
I'm sorry. I think you misunderstood me. I said, would you suck these balls?
Oh.
They're as smooth as eggs.
Sean Connery would get it.
All right. And you're seeing, like, one of the major continuity issues in this movie is there's this giant red shield in the sky that you see sometimes. You see this
whenever they show it.
Is flying, like, right next to it.
Well,
and then you cut to inside
overlaid
the plane,
on top
of it. And it's yeah. It's just bright daylight out.
Yep.
Which is never ever in this film
ever.
Yeah, to be fair, this is like the Langolier style special effects for this plane.
Yeah, we're about there.
Let's get to this subway ride, shall we?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because General Katana's been using his future camera. And he's just like, send me to the future.
Not just a future camera. He is literally just straight up watching this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, was it? Didn't he say to the porcupine guys? He was just like, "Go to the future."
Yeah, he did.
Just that's all he said.
That was totally expecting him to just be like, "All right, we're watching now. What's happening now is now." Fucking.
So anyway. basically the main bad guy of this movie is just a dick.
He sure is.
Like, no real motivation. He's just a douche.
Well, and also, he doesn't have to do anything. Like, he could just sit on his ass and win.
Yeah. Well, his motivation was, I fucked up, so now I have to go try and clean that up. That's basically how this goes. Like, I should have just let him die, but because they sent those porcupines, he's now going to live longer, and he remembers shit. So, I guess I better go clean that up. So he launches himself through the ground into a subway.
Mm-hmm.
Head first, apparently, which he can just do. He wakes up. He's like, you know what?
How did he know that was there?
Oh, man.
Because, like, if that wasn't there, would he just be in the ground?
We could only hope.
Maybe?
Where he belongs.
I don't know. He doesn't. It's questionable from his actions if he knows what a child is, but he seems to know what a train is and how it works. I don't understand any of this. But he does seem to know that he needs a trench coat. So he finds a guy watching Godzilla and breaks his neck.
So, hold on. How would he have gotten back home?
He would just yell out, take me from the future.
Yeah.
Well, if he Ramirez! Was the only one left, he would have the choice to go home with his faith and freedom restored.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
So the fact that he just went in the future and committed murder, he would be absolved of.
Okay.
Sure, I'm guessing.
So.
Seems to make as much sense as anything else in this movie. So
well, nothing makes sense in the movie.
Yep. He takes control of the subway.
He sure does.
Does anybody else want to field this one?
Okay. So in the future, subway trains can hit 600 miles per hour.
No, yes. For real.
They are almost supersonic.
But only on the inside. On the outside, they still look like they're going about 40 max.
They also still look like they're bricks, the same kind you find in New York subways now. Yeah.
Also, they fire lightning as they go.
Yes. Or, well, I don't know about lightning. I would say, like, they just have, a John Cena entrance pyrotechnics every time.
I don't know. Blew all those people in the station.
Yeah, no, there's... Like, every time he got to a station, we had a Ghostbusters-esque, ghost escaping scene.
That's true.
So, okay, movies. Because this pisses me off that more than one movie is guilty of this. There is a little handle you pull in each subway car that doesn't just suggest to the driver that the train stop. It stops the train.
Right.
All subways have this feature. Maybe in the future they don't. I don't know.
Well, they can't afford them in the future.
I guess.
That money has to go towards
making the subway go 600 miles an hour.
Yeah, what the fuck's power this thing?
Also, from the looks of it...
Why is that a feature?
It's got zero,
from
zero
the looks
friction
of it, in the future,
rails.
They don't even have a way to stop baby carriages from rolling away. Yeah. So maybe they got rid of brakes altogether.
Well, this movie straight up does murder a baby.
Oh, sure does.
Yeah, sure does.
Yep. A little Oscar
Yeah. So,
which this woman does not seem too concerned.
Well, she's got her own problems to worry about. Like,
but when the things are thrown away, she runs after it like, stop, please, no.
Like, what does that look for? Because I gave it a name? Does that make it harder to kill? Yeah. It's the baby from Ghostbusters 2.
I got it.
All
right.
So shit gets real weird in this train car. Like, people are being thrown about. After he gets up to about 600 miles an hour, he slams on the brakes, which causes one guy's...
No. He smashed through a wall.
Yeah.
No, but he put the brakes on first.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
I missed that part.
That's why, like, all those sparks are shooting out and everything, and everyone starts flying forward.
Oh, I missed that part.
Well, it's...
I couldn't tell which way they're flying. 100%
clear what's going on in there. But at that point, also, some guy's head goes Total Recall.
Yeah, it sure does.
Guy's head crashes through the window. Everyone's dead.
Yep.
He's very happy with himself as a train crashes through a wall.
Which doesn't seem to impact him at all.
Last stop.
Yeah, gets out, looks right into the camera, says last stop, and walks away.
So he really likes this future. I guess in the past they didn't have trains.
I guess.
They had, you know, hover things and expando swords and the ability to see the fucking future.
So let's just kind of skip ahead a little bit. This is where... what's her face? The girl whose name Luis. I can't. Luis is in Connor's apartment.
Yeah. Yes,
like looking through all his old timey stuff.
Yeah, you just give it a good bit ahead, but sure.
What are we missing?
We don't have to worry about that. But I do just want to bring up at one point she tries to sum up this movie and does not seem to be able to have any better luck than the rest of us. Where she's just like, "So you're immortal now because immortals from the past came to the future. But if you kill them all, you'll be mortal unless you go back there, in which case you'll be mortal there and something." And he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Your guess is as good as mine.
She lives there now.
Yeah,
apparently,
well,
yeah. I mean,
well, she's going to own it pretty soon because she was just raped. But
she's a fugitive, so, I mean, I guess she's seeking shelter there.
Yeah.
Shelter, that's what you call it.
Stallone's Judge Dredd is...
It's more like Stockholm Syndrome, but...
that's probably it.
It's the same freaking thing he did in The Shadow.
Yeah, basically.
Girl that can handle things herself shows up, meets the hero, becomes a damsel in distress, and just moves into his apartment.
Yes. That pretty much is it.
Yeah.
So he goes to the S.H.I.E.L.D. Corporation. He shows up there, way younger. No one gives a fuck. Shows up to the doctor that made the S.H.I.E.L.D. with him. Also doesn't care that he's younger. Then, like, doctor...
At least he mentions it.
Yeah. And he's like, we gotta take the S.H.I.E.L.D. down. And they're like, the doctor gives him one of the coordinates, but then Dr. Cox storms in and he's like, blah, 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 get out of here. That's basically it.
There's not enough power to turn the S.H.I.E.L.D. off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, what?
Well, he doesn't say that yet, but yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. He's just like, get out of here. Then, yeah, now we're at the point where the general takes a taxi to that building for some reason.
Yeah, what building is this?
It's just a building.
Yeah.
Okay. It's, yeah.
I don't know.
Just a building.
Just beats up the taxi.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Just totally fucks it up. I like put it in my tab or whatever.
And Connor shows up for what reason?
To kill him.
Okay. Just there. All right.
Well, I guess he knows. Or
nothing in this movie makes sense.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Now we start a sword fight against my attention span.
That happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fighting through this building. The taxi driver's killed. He's hanging. Start fighting through this building.
No. Okay. Some stuff happens before then that's important to mention.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
So we're on the plane again with Sean Connery.
Yes.
Where you watch that safety video.
Oh, yeah.
That's just bananas. The plane just crashes into the ground and explodes. Like
in the video.
Yeah. Chaos ensues.
Also, they're showing this instructional safety video halfway through the flight.
Oh, yeah. Because if they showed that to you in the beginning, you'd get off the damn plane.
Probably, I guess. Because it says they're somewhere over the Atlantic. So they're like halfway through this flight. And he's watching this video of everyone crashing and burning and dying and putting plastic bags over their head.
At this point, Ramirez, for reasons known only to him, turns around and says to the lady next to him and says, "Dark-haired ladies, I hear they like to sit on men's faces."
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
He then also follows that with the stewardess asks him if he wants anything to eat, and he says, "I don't eat anything I can't identify." And then after she leaves, leans back to that girl and says, "Well, that's not always the case." Wink. Whatever the hell that means.
She's like, "All right, well, I guess you're not getting dinner."
Lawsuit one, lawsuit two.
Yeah. Is that like saying you want to eat me out, but you don't think what I have is identifiable? I'm confused.
Y'all got that thing where you got teeth?
All right, let's change the tone. Now we're at Connor visiting his wife's grave. You see back in the past when the sun just killed people?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's supposed to be because there's a hole in the ozone layer, but I'm just picturing more like a Super Mario Brothers 3 style where it just swooped down.
Yeah, the angry sun.
Because they couldn't get Brenda from the first movie. There's just some scorched woman in bad makeup with a wife.
There's some hot water in her face and wrap something around her eyes. Good.
It's really like, I'm picturing it like kind of a like a James Bond mega weapon.
Oh, yeah.
Just giant little space laser just coming down.
That's not good.
All because aliens.
Yep.
Ancient aliens.
So she's like, basically, you got to stop the sun from doing this. So that's why he makes the shield, which is bad, but we don't know why.
Right. Well, because it makes everything red.
I guess.
And red is the spookiest color that you can have.
Sure.
Also, do we know when this happened?
What? The son?
Killed his wife, yeah.
25 years ago.
Well, before 1999, because this is when the shield came up.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, I was just wondering, like, how
it wasn't a very long time ago. How long did it
take him to make the shield?
It was, like, a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how long it took him to design the shield.
Not all that long. It's like, the last movie ended in the 80s, right? In the 80s, it ended?
Yeah, 88 or something.
So within, like, 10 years.
No, he picked up that, you know, all that science. Like,
well, he knew everything at the end of the movie, right?
I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Except that all these people are a-holes that are going to take over his company and be shitheads. Anyway. All
right. So the general shows up. He's like, first, I'm going to make out with the statue. Second, I'm going to talk shit about your wife. Rub some poo on her coffin. Then, like, a holy procession comes through the area. It's like some priests and stuff. And they're like, oh, it's sacred ground. We can't battle. Because, you know, if we're going to have one thing that has continuity with the previous movie, I guess it's going to be this.
Sure.
And then he says to him before he disappears, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If you don't take it out, it's going to rust.
I did take it out on that girl the other night.
Yep. It's this movie.
So now what happens?
Now they're going to go fight. So, like, what the fuck was the point of the showdown by her grave?
I think that was just I'm going to fuck with you. Now come follow me to this place where we can fight.
So, I guess. Yeah.
So they fight. There's swords. There's swinging.
It's really boring.
The taxi driver was there. Fell at him. Sure. Whatever.
It ends with McCloud gets onto an elevator.
Hold on. There is an important thing. Because if you're fighting with these future swords and you go outside, they make lightsaber noises until you go back inside. Reasons? Unknown.
Well,
they're solar powered.
Oh.
But there's a shield block the sun.
Oh.
But it's not a very good shield, as we've already...
Well, maybe the building that they're in represents the law. And when they go outside, they're outside the law, so they can infringe on any manner of intellectual property.
I wonder if this movie is the reason why we got the show. Because the show came out a year after this movie came out. They were like, fuck that shit. We're not going to let you ruin the franchise with bullshit. Let's bring it back and make it better.
Yeah, let's make a bad show instead of a bad movie.
That show was awesome. Fuck you.
Renegade? Yeah, it was amazing.
That show too.
So Connor gets dropped up from the elevator. Okay, also movies, when you cut the elevator's cord, it doesn't fall down. It stays where it is. You know, there's a whole bunch of breaks that keep that from falling.
Well, this was in an abandoned building, so I'll give him that. Mm. But this elevator drops 1,000 stories, I'm guessing. Something like that.
It drops for a while.
Yeah, for a long while. At the end of it, McCloud just crumples into a pile and then just kind of gets back up and starts putting himself back together.
He's immortal.
Yeah, but in the first one, he got like a serious.
He hasn't signed him Blood of Kings, Tony. Damn. Damn.
Also, the elevator exploded when it hit the ground.
Yeah, of course.
I was prepping for it. He has no rival.
No man can be his equal.
Yes.
Yeah. So then
why are we discussing this?
So now, while he's putting himself back together, you think that'd be a good time for the general to just finish him off?
Yep. Yeah.
You would think.
You could probably just throw like a couple bricks down there and finish him.
Yeah. Drop a sword down there like that.
Yeah.
But no, he just leaves. So then like Connor goes back to talk to Louise about all of his wives.
You want to be next? Yeah,
she was like, who's in this picture?
Yeah. Was this someone before me? Really?
Girls kind of like me a little bit.
I can't believe he slept with other girls, even though we just banged in an alley.
How dare you, person that can live forever, you know, have other wives.
Yeah. You're not being faithful to me, the person you just met in an alley and banged for 10 minutes.
Like, legit, like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a relationship now, Brian.
Oh, my God.
Because you might have got me pregnant.
Who wrote this? Like, who wrote this shit? I bet she was like reading the script. She's like, really? Like 30 seconds in? Really? I mean, that's a paycheck.
How much am I getting paid? All right.
I don't have to get naked, do I?
I loved her even when she was old.
So after
I really loved her old. Yes.
So Sean Connery, after he took his dick off the craft services table, he put back in his pants.
He never did.
Yeah. Okay, so his dick's still on the craft services table while what I'm about to describe plays out. Yep. So the director walks up with the script, and he's like, Mr. Connery, we need you to... And Sean Connery just went, ha-cha, and cut the script a few times with his sword. And they were like, that's the only copy we have.
My son wrote that.
So they picked up the pieces and tried to put it back together, kind of Humpty Dumpty style. And this movie's what we got.
Yeah. So I guess Connery basically decides to do that throughout the movie because he shows up and they start sword fighting because that's what immortals do.
Yeah.
You know who wrote this movie? From Bob's Burgers. Not Jimmy, but his friend. The kid who wears tank top. What's Jimmy's friend?
I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember.
But he has like a down south accent. That kid wrote this movie. That's something that kid, a level 11-year-old.
No, you know who wrote this movie? The two little boys that are voiced by Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They wrote the dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah, that other kid wrote the story.
He was like, and then explosions, and then they make sex noises. Yeah! Woo!
No, that's it. He dictated, and the other two wrote it.
Yeah, that's it.
So Ramirez shows up, and they have this weird fake sword fight, and he gives him wisdom?
Ish, yeah. Whatever. It's one, you know... You son of a bitch moments.
Ramirez meets Louise.
Stick around a little.
I'm going to pork that.
Yes, I will take that from you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he totally is just like, ooh, what's this?
He was going to take his first wife, too. Yep. He was going to do it, but then Kirk showed him cut his head off.
Prima nocta, bitch.
He was going to do it.
All right, so.
He's making comments like, you know, oh, she's wanted by the law. Like, I didn't know the law had good taste. I'm like, yeah, all right, settle down.
Let's get some nonsensical bad guy scheming going. Because now, this is when Dr. Cox shows up to call the other doctor a traitor.
What's that guy's name in the movie anyway? Did they give him a name?
Doctor.
The other guy?
Yeah. No, John.
David John Blaine.
Huh?
He was David Blake was his name.
Oh. Yeah.
But he's Dr. Cox.
So David Blaine.
Dr. Scientist and Dr. Yeah. Boss.
Yeah, so Dr. Boss shows up and he's, Dr. Science is like, we could totally just turn the shield off. Like, we don't need to keep this going. And he's like, there's not enough power on the planet to turn that shield off. At which point, was that the point where you held your notebook in your hands and sort of aggressively jiggled / cried and whacked your knees with your own notebook?
It might have been, yeah. Yeah.
It was a sad time.
My body was convulsing with not being able to comprehend.
So the only thing I can guess is that this machine is turned on and off by a giant, like, Mega Maid style switch.
Could be.
And, like, they only had enough power to throw that switch once.
Oh my god, they've turned it from suck to blow. So... Yeah, so he gets thrown in this camp, prison, whatever.
Yeah.
In Nevada, I guess.
Well, we're not done with evil shenanigans.
No.
No, because this is when the general shows up at the corporate board meeting.
Yeah. Hostile takeover time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Shows up growling like a tiger.
Literally, literally, they make put the sound effect in.
Yes.
It was his tummy.
One of the corporate stooges pulls out the corporate pistol that was so fashionable in the 80s. God.
It looks like this dude has never held or discharged a firearm.
Well, he might not in his life. Like, I mean, he's a board guy. He's not a...
He wasn't security?
I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, he's just a dude?
Yeah. He was sitting at the table with them.
He's just a homicidal maniac.
Okay. I mean, it would have been kind of cool, though, if, like, Ed 209 just popped out and just, like...
It would have been cool.
It would have.
But there were no robots in the future. That's true.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of things in the future. No.
But anyway.
So, sex robots, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katana just gets back up, and he's like, yeah, I can take a shot pretty well. Let's see how you can take with me just ripping your jaw off. King Kong style.
I'm going to hold you, and you're going to make kind of unpleasant noises.
Yeah, let's just make crinkling noises.
I'm going to hold you till you die.
Yeah. And he's
all
the while.
Don't you, you cry.
Just making awkward faces at Dr. Boss while they're playing cracky noises.
Yeah, they make a whole bunch of terrible sounding noises.
And he's like, because plot convenience, we work together now.
Yeah.
So we don't have to resolve two story threads.
But also, they don't even, like, attempt to really cover this well. He's like, so what do you want? He's like, I want the Highlander. And he's just like, sure, let's work on the Highlander thing. Like, by the way, what's a Highlander? I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that a Mercury? I don't know.
All right, so now we got to go to Max.
Yeah, have to go to the Max?
Yeah.
Isn't that the restaurant from Saved by the Bell?
Wow.
I thought it was like Pit, but a different kind.
I was
thinking Peach Pit. That's 90210.
I was thinking Beverly, the purple guy with the blades on his hands.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of too. Because we're heterosexual.
Also, if you throw an A in there, you'd have Mayax.
Deep cuts.
Episode 1.
We're gonna watch that. Oh no! I'm thinking of Mayax from Ernest Saves Christmas or Ernest
Scared Stupid.
Look where you've taken us, movie.
Oh my god!
Where you've taken us.
I think I'd prefer it.
I would. I really would. This movie is not Battlefield bad, but it's
that's true. It's way more entertaining for me than Battlefield was. But I guess we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here.
Sorry. Spoiler
alert. Yeah. Okay. As much as I'm pissing on this, though, I am genuinely interested to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Like, I care about this movie at this
point. This is your first time seeing the movie.
Yes.
So you don't know what's coming up.
Yes.
Yeah. So I get that.
But
I get that.
I'm like, holy fuck, this might be the worst thing I've ever done.
To be fair.
So I'm excited about it.
To be fair, I had seen this before at least once, and there were multiple times where I was just like, oh, wait for the terrible part. Oh my god, I forgot it was that stupid, and things like that. So,
anyway, back to the movie.
All right, so they're like, we gotta get in this prison. I got a plan.
Yeah.
What's your plan?
So,
Which I remember liking this part when I was younger.
So there was a point in
probably
high
because
school
of all the squibs
where I played in a homegrown RPG system that allowed you to play as an immortal in the world of darkness. So you could have vampires, werewolves, mages, and immortals. But the DM quickly stopped allowing immortal characters because you can do things like this scene. Which is just like, fuck it, I'll get shot, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll get shot 20 times, I don't care.
Yep. So the plan is, they hop in their car, and they blow past security.
They just rush the fence.
They rush the fence, in the car still, drive through, up into the facility, and they get shot the shit out of. Like, I mean, they unload 1,000 bullets on these guys.
It's like Bonnie and Clyde plus that scene from The Godfather.
Yeah, it's just mad.
Yeah, the whole SWAT team's here, bullets. They just light this car up.
Yeah.
And then they check the trunk, and Luis is in the trunk like, oh, they kidnapped me.
Somehow she's okay.
They kidnapped me.
Miraculously.
You guys saved me. Thank you so much.
The only explanation I can think of is that Cadillac is like 50 feet long. So she's a good distance away from them.
This is why I brought this up before. This woman they just, quote unquote, saved from this trunk, Luis, is a known terrorist for attacking this facility.
Yep. No. Not this one.
This company. Not this facility, but this company. And none of them are aware.
They would have put the boots to her. Probably light style instead of medium style, but they probably would have put the boots to her.
Anyway. Oh, for sure. They should have been like, yeah, you're coming with us. Like, here's some handcuffs.
She was just like, are you sure you want to shoot these?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. You're not supposed to be here.
So, they get taken to the medical center. And you meet that doctor, like, that they try to make a character for, like, 5 seconds.
Have a second.
Yeah.
You're like, who the fuck's this guy? Who cares about him?
He's maybe flirting with her next to a couple bodies?
Is this the guy that faints?
Yes.
Yeah. It's awful.
So they stand up, and they're like, oh, I got shot more than you did. No, you didn't. Blah, blah, blah. Punch face. So they're
I remember liking this part when I was a kid. I remember that.
No, I mean, it's a good plan to get in there. You're like, hey, I'm immortal. Let's just
get shot a bunch. They'll bring us to the infirmary or whatever.
Yeah. So this guy, though, the doctor, he like turns around. He's like, Larry, and then passes out. Who's Larry? Who cares?
And I wrote, what a waste of squibs.
A lot of squibs.
Yeah. So now they just go into the security ward and they find the doctor, Dr. Scientist.
Yes.
He gives them the other coordinate they need to find the hole in the shield.
Then dies.
He's just like, all right, I've said my line. Ugh.
So the shield that's being projected by this satellite is a solid object?
Mm-hmm. It can even refract yelling the word Ramirez in lightning.
In all fairness, that word was magical, electrical, magnetic, and it bounced back off the magnetic field.
I'm saying it's a good shield.
Yeah.
This shield ain't playing around.
Even blocks magic.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I don't even know. What the fuck are we doing?
Okay, so now...
We need to get out.
They need to get out, but they get trapped in the obvious trap room with the swirling... I don't want to call it a fan. I don't know. It's
a death trap.
It's a decapitator.
Yeah, it is a decapitator.
That's all it is. It's a chop-o-matic.
He's like, check it out. I locked you in this room. I'm going to have this machine descend very slowly and not quite pay attention while you, are in this easily escapable situation.
That's the sad thing. He watches the whole goddamn thing. Yeah. Just doesn't do anything about it.
Sean Connery's like, I've had enough of this place.
Pretty much.
And I can't afford another lawsuit.
Like, all right, Billy. So we got them in this room. The blade's coming down and it's going to kill them. How do they get out?
I don't know. Magic?
All right. So Sean Connery's... Give some bullshit about how, like, everyone lives a life, but not everyone truly lives a life or something.
Well, just, like,
focus your chi, has a full, use the force.
Like, has, like, a full life to live, but not everybody, you know, fully takes advantage of it. And it's like, I can use all of it in 1 second to do something glorious.
He really does just iron fist this thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Without crying.
He... uses the magic of Scotland.
Bagpipes start playing.
He does.
Yeah. Fucking Amazing Grace.
He summons the power of bagpipes.
Sparkles just shoot out. And it lifts the fan up. And he's just like, just get the fuck out of here. This is getting weird.
He almost says that. Like, I feel like it's what he's trying to say.
Well, like, because also in that he just kind of like, well, fuck that door too. And open that. Like, all right.
This sure, better be not. Awesome when it hits post.
Yeah. And, like, Lambert's like, are we ever going to see you again? He's like, if my agent has anything to say about it, hopefully not.
But like,
see if I'm dumb enough to sign the next contract.
He pushed this fan up back up into the air, and then stands and looks at it for a little while.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, he could have easily walked out.
The two of them just stand in the doorway and watch this, too.
And the door just opens.
Fucking see you later.
Yeah, the door opens. He could have just bagpiped the door. He didn't have to bagpipe the fan.
But instead, not only does he not, like, just, like, oh, I can't hold this any longer, the thing falls on right. No, he just bursts into light. Fucking whatever.
And the fan crashes to the ground and fucking explodes. Like everything else in this movie.
Sending a giant, friggin' flame ball down the tunnel after these two.
So is that what happens when this thing reaches the end of its track? It just explodes.
I don't know.
Maybe that's like that spinny sharp tip it had was actually like a missile head?
No, okay, because it's going to cut you to shit like if it gets you, right? You're just hamburger all over the wall. So that's like an oven's like self-cleaning feature.
Yeah.
When it hits the bottom, just...
And usually those doors are closed.
Yeah.
So it would have just kept it in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, now, what I would have liked for him to do is be like, I can take all my life into one, you know, use for one cool thing. Grab the sword, just cut the fan.
That's, yeah, I was thinking.
Like, it's like, nope, fan, no fan, just cut all the different things with all the fan and I'd be fine, but nope.
Or just kind of like hold the thing there and be like, oh, I'll hold it while you go and then I'll sacrifice myself and just get my head cut off. Just
kick the door open.
Yeah, use like a little bit of that stag speed from the first movie and maybe just dart through the fan blades.
Right.
How badass would that be?
Too badass.
Too badass for this movie. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. McCloud and... he also is, you know, he's like, you need the two of you or whatever to stop this thing. Mm-hmm. Now go. So, Luis and McCloud are now running out.
We got to get in our armored pickup truck.
We sure do. We're starting to drive away when Katana shows up. And just gets run over.
Not even like hard run over, like gently run over.
And she turns to Luis, is like, fantastic.
Yeah, just another problem down.
Like it was a fucking like bottled water commercial.
Ugh. Do the do, man. All right. Ugh. So they're just driving, they're on their way. But so what do you know? Katana is just hanging to the bottom of this thing, apparently.
I mean, as he should.
And by looking in the rearview mirror, you could clearly hear him somehow go, time for your bitch to die.
Yeah.
I don't think we really pointed it out, but Michael Ironside's this whole movie is just hamming it up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he's
for
like
sure.
The muse for Jeremy Irons in Dungeons and Dragons. Like, he is like, I am so evil.
Well, that's the thing. I think he was just like, all right, I'm doing this for a paycheck. I got like a kid to put through college or new, you know, addition to the house and whatever it is.
House through college.
So he's like, for sure, why not? But he's like, well, now I'm trapped in this. I get to play the villain. Let's do this up. Because the script is garbage.
Yeah.
Might as well have fun.
He's just playing the Kurgan, though.
He is.
But Connery already dipped his dick on the craft. Yeah. He's like, I'm doing whatever I want.
I can't eat.
Yeah.
I got to pay out of pocket for lunch. Get it delivered to my trailer so Connery doesn't dick it.
He even got the vending machine in the hall.
Yeah,
As long as they can get out of here without a sexual harassment lawsuit, they can't say shit. So
they call for lunch and they see Connery just waiting outside the trailer. It's like, what you got there?
You want your bologna sandwich? You can eat it off my cock.
Oh, is that Pizza Hut?
Okay.
It's mine now. So,
we're going to crank up some, like, 80s butt metal, which sounds like five people playing one drum set and one guy just wailing on a guitar super hard.
It's the reprisal of this after we heard it the first time in that train scene.
Yeah.
Because that needed some butt metal, too.
Yeah, they're just fighting on a truck. At one point, Katana punches his hand through the windshield and sort of rubs Louise's face. Gives her a bloody nose somehow.
Gives her a nuggie.
Yeah.
I wish she had turned the wipers on. I wish she had done that.
Oh. And how badass would that be if that cut his head off?
Oh, man.
Like his head and his arms.
Like if this could have been like a goon that he had and that's how the goon died.
Oh,
that's the thing. Great. This thing really needed more goons. We need more of those mutant people to come through and die.
Yeah.
Because this is now the second fight with our main villain that goes nowhere.
Yeah, eventually he just kicks him off the truck.
Yeah.
And Katana's laughing like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
We'll see you in the Alps or something.
Well, I mean, like, in all fairness, he knows that regardless of whatever happens, he knows where he's going to be. He has to go to that pyramid fucking thing.
But he doesn't really, because later on they question where he's going to be. Actually, shortly after this, when he's somehow magically back with John C. McGinley, I'm sorry, Dr. Boss, he's like, oh, where'd they go? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah, so let's do that scene.
Well, all right, just skip the one other plot point that happens. They go to they find a shaft in a mountain, climb up, you know, they follow the coordinates, climb up this ladder through really bad special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Some, they're on top of the shield, I guess, but you can't really see for sure.
They're on top of the world range. Hey?
They're like, it's nice weather out. It looks pretty good. And so they're like, all right, we got to turn the shield off. They already knew they had to turn the shield off. It's not like they took anybody else with them up here to convince them.
Well, hold on. I have to fix my hair first.
Yeah. And then the sun melted her.
You see it spraying on his head and then going, like, the rest of it's going through and just catches on fire. Yeah, burning in her face.
Like, I hope there was an outtake where, like, they open that hood, they open the panel, and she walks and goes, ah!
like the end of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Just instantly engulfed in flames. No, yeah. But that's the thing. Apparently, they got like 8 different readings that said the weather was fine up here, but they didn't believe them, so they had to go check it out.
Okay, so now we're back at Pyramid that makes the shield.
Mm-hmm. And so Katana and Dr. Boss are arguing because they're like, well, you fucked up. No, you fucked up. Whatever. And finally, Katana's just like, you know what? I'm done with this. He just grabs Dr. Boss by the nutsack, and I guess crushes his testicles?
Yes.
And then just throws him out the window.
He screams, ah! Yeah. Like, high pitches stuff.
That's a whole lot of screaming. Testicular
torsion followed by some defenestration.
Yeah. And that puppet had no chance.
No, really didn't.
Was done.
Had no bones.
I like how the guards are like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Because that's one less person we got to watch.
By
the laws of nature, you win. Yeah. You now own this building.
I got to give credit to John C. McGinn. Though he makes a great ow my balls face.
Yeah. Yeah.
He played it nicely.
He knows he fucked up.
So whatever. Now he's just like, I guess I know where they're going somehow or whatever.
They're like,
so
we're gonna have a gun battle, and then at this point they're like, what's the point? Just leave that. And yeah, then he finds the general by the shield.
Time for swords.
Yeah, this is the third sword fight between our leads here.
It's a sad, impotent little fight.
No one
fight.
Can care.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a good fight.
No.
No, and even surprise, Connor wins. He cuts his head off. Big freaking shock. But, like, he gets a quickening, and it's just like... Pfft. There you go.
Yeah. Maybe it was like saved up. It was a delayed one.
Because it's just like zoop, and that's it.
Yeah. No buildings exploding. No, massive things blast breaking all over the place. No mm-hmm. giant orgasm face. Just a.
Mm-hmm. But then he's like, how are we going to defeat this laser beam into the sky?
I can climb side.
Obviously, by standing inside of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Obviously.
Mm. Obviously. So this thing that lasered Katana's arm off and obviously hurt him really badly, he just walks into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has the power of Katana now.
Yeah. Hey, T-Man. I mean.
He also still had the power of the Kurgan and everybody that he killed.
So, he destroys the shields.
Yeah, I guess we're implied that he used the power that Connery used with the Iron Fist thing.
But he took Katana's life and summoned all of that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's what it was.
And then that's pretty much.
It blows up the facility, blows up the shield. Louise.
Yeah.
And then it just pans up to the sky.
Yeah.
And we see their stars.
Oh. I forgot. Was there an actual Sean Connery voiceover, or did you just put that in at the end?
There was an actual Sean.
Oh, okay.
He started again doing the thing about, everybody lives a life. And, well, that was a couple minutes ago. But
remember, it's a double elimination.
No, but we get the thing about, some people don't live their life, whatever, and summon your life to.
I was going Stallone too, but it was.
If you don't want to get sticky, you better step back, Jack. An actual line from that fucking movie.
So, yeah.
And thus ends Highlander 2.
My last note I took was, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah.
And that about sums it up. That was Highlander 2, The Quickening from 1991. All right, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 0. Audience gave this a score of 22.
Wow.
Well, that's their personal opinion on it. What is yours on this movie, Brian?
I'd give it like a 10. Yeah, like a 10. Not quite a 0, but 10. That's about right. 10 out of 100.
Is that a recommendation?
No. God, no. God, no. So this movie sucks. It's god awful. They can barely even tie it to the first movie. And things you would think would you would still have a sword from the first movie and you're not going to shit. Like, no. It's just, You guys should listen to this again, right? But do a drinking game. Every time someone here goes, ugh, drink, and see how long it takes you to get drunk. Because this movie is god awful.
Don't do that, Stacey. We don't want you to hurt your liver.
No, get drunk and then text me. Oh, sorry. but yeah, this movie sucks.
All right, Rob.
This movie is a hot-ass mess. But I think you should watch it just once. Because I feel there's a lot of it that needs to be seen to be believed. The Porcupine Brothers, like, you have to watch that scene. the subway scene, yeah, like, don't...
More, not, paid more.
Not more than once and not alone. Those are, that's my criteria.
Okay.
So it's a soft recommend.
All right. Joe.
I'm basically going to echo what Rob said. When I rolled this last week, I was quite upset. I knew I was getting a shit show. I didn't realize the shit show was going to be like a dump truck full of shit blowing up to Glorious Pyrotechnics set to the William Tell overture. Like, I was genuinely excited to see how terrible this movie was going to turn out. Like, once we got to the point where the first dude got his head cut off by the train and everything exploded, I was like, I can't wait to see what happens next. I genuinely enjoyed this movie. But it is a steaming dump truck full of shit that's been blown up over a large blast radius. So yeah, like Rob said, you gotta see it once. That's all. And preferably with other people.
Yeah. I would rather watch this 1,000 times before I'd watch Battlefield Earth again.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That's why I gave it a 10.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna echo all of that. Like, this is kind of a so bad it's good situation. I mean, it's not good. The movie is not good. But it is entertaining, and it's just utter bananasness, for lack of a better word. It just, like, it's a Highlander movie, and then they get weird parts that go into, like, Dead Alive territory and shit. And, like, just, I never really know where it's going next. And I didn't even get to the part where they forget when they get decapitated. As soon as those Koopa brothers showed up, I was like, what the fuck is happening now? So, yeah, it's crazy enough to, I think it needs to be witnessed. Again, preferably with some drinks and some friends, but...
You know what? I've only seen 3 out of the 4 Highlander movies, but I'm pretty sure I would watch this again over Endgame, because Endgame just sucked, and it was a better movie, but it just sucked.
Yeah.
In not interesting ways.
I don't remember it well enough.
Yeah, I've only seen it the one time.
Yeah, I think the reason I don't remember it that well is because it was just boring.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, that's... mostly recommendations here, so guess we're good on that front.
All 3 recommendations, though, with the caveat of this is a terrible movie.
Yes. Well, yeah, it's basically the equivalent of 1 recommendation for the 3 of us.
It earned that 0.
Oh, sure. But what do we have up next, Brian?
It's time to roll that D20 of fate, see what we watch next. And it's Tony's turn now, so hopefully Tony can roll better than we've been rolling.
Don't fuck up.
List is ready. I have no idea what's on it.
Oh, why didn't you vet it first?
It's 19.
It's a high roll. Oh, no.
19 is 1987's Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2. All right. All right. Thank you, Tony.
There you go.
We're still on bad movies, but like good bad movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're climbing out of the sludge.
It was a pretty...
Our 10 episode skid might be off.
Pretty even mix this time around.
10 episode skid mark, I should say.
I like even mix. That's good. Good odds. All right.
Well done, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you, Di. Appreciate it. So, what else do we have for the people, Rob?
All right, guys. Well, you can join us next week for The Evil Dead 2. In the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us with any questions, comments, or fun stories, you can email us at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. That's the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at 4ampodcast. And I think we have an Instagram...
I believe it's the 4 a.m. podcast.
Oh, there you go. So you can find us there, and we are always happy to hear from you guys. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
Deuces.
To all the haters out there, there ain't enough power on this planet to turn off 4 a.m. podcast.
Out. All right. Good night, everybody.